Welcome to the Spurs News Podcast, your home for all things Tottenham Hotspur. Now, here are your hosts.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of the Spurs News Podcast. I am Sam. Joining me in this very special episode, episode 233, I believe. I'm titling it Squad Chat. And joining me, it's the Amazon Limelight Stealer himself. It's Stefan.
I'm so glad you don't hold a grudge on that.
Yeah, it's okay. I've gotten over it. In no way at all.
No.
No, it's still there. It's like a bad fart. It just lingers and just hangs around and just won't leave me alone. Just stays there. So we didn't have a game this weekend due to the way the unique way the Premier League is structured. It just so happened, absolute kind of freak, really, which is our game against Man City got moved due to Champions League, and our only fixture, which, you know, got postponed, that could have slotted in, was Chelsea, who were playing Man City in the FA Cup. So it was like one of those scenarios where it's like, okay, well, can we play anyone else? No? Everyone else got a date, have they? Oh, okay.
Would anyone else like a game? Anyone?
Yeah.
We'll take a friendly against anyone.
Yeah, it was just a kind of weird thing. So it's just the way it worked out, which means we got this big break. So we didn't have a game. So the option was like, you know, we wouldn't have done a show. We could have left it, but I mentioned a few weeks ago a kind of ongoing discussion that me and you have all the time, Dan especially on the show, where we basically look at our squad and we're like, okay, well, this guy needs to go. And in a very kind of dispassionate kind of just, you know, well, you know, it's not really worked for them. This needs to change. But at the same time, trying to focus in on the fact that you do have to build a squad within the rules. This season, it was purely Premier League rules we had to worry about. Next season, we hope that we're going to have European football again. So, you know, the rules around that as well. So this episode of the podcast is purely going to be that. It's going to be a discussion about the squad, some rumour stuff thrown in. We're going to break it down into the sort of squad, goalkeepers, defenders, midfielders, attackers. That's just four breakdown. I know some could possibly slot between the two, but we'll try and sort of keep it to that. Talk a little bit of rumors, talk a little bit about the rules to kick off with. So let me start by saying the Premier League rules around the squad. I set you homework for this podcast.
You did.
And between us, we got there. let's just say that.
It is a typical, I spent 20 minutes Googling through different wordings of the same phrase of like, just give me what I'm looking for. And then you were like, yeah, 5 minutes. I clicked on the first link, then went on to another link, and there it was.
So the Premier League rules are this. You can name a 25-man squad, and 17 of those can be non-homegrown. That is the limit. A homegrown classification is someone who has been trained in the association. So for England, English clubs, that's the FA. There has been slight rule changes in the past around. So, for example, Ben Davies came through the academy at Swansea. Swansea is a Welsh football club, but play within the English FA. Which means that in England, he was classed as homegrown, but in Europe, he was classed as a foreign player. That has now been updated to change. So there's been some little quirks. Another fun quirk was always, whilst Eric Dyer was a full England international, he was classed as a foreign player because he came through the academy at Sporting Lisbon.
Yes.
So again, there's lots of little quirks to it. Nationality doesn't really play a part. Homegrown status is granted after 3 years registered with a club prior to your 21st birthday. And that can also potentially get you classed as club trained, which is another thing. Club trained players, to give you an example of a club trained player in our squad right now, is obviously Oliver Skip. Oliver Skripp is not only homegrown, association of the FA, but also he's come through the academy system at the club. So in the Premier League, that is not actually a thing. A club train side of it in the Premier League, you focus on homegrown, not club trained. Yes. So for this season that we've just had, where we allowed the Harris to leave at the start of it, both Kane and Winks drop in our club train quota, we knew we didn't have a European competition. So therefore, you know, well, they both want to go. Ka-ching. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
To be homegrown, I've written this down, you must be registered with an FA club for at least 36 months before your 21st birthday. Under 21 players do not need to be listed in that 25-man squad. So here's a little bit of information that's interesting when trying to put together a squad for next season. The under 21 players do not need to be listed regardless of their nationality or how long they've been in the association. So if you sign a player from abroad who's under 21, they don't have to be in that 25-man squad. So this season, Dragusin, Papamatasar, and Destiny Udogi, three of them, were on the under 21 list, which means they didn't take up foreign player slots in our 25-man squad.
However, next
season,
all
three of them will. Now, there's been some talk about Sar, because Sar has been registered with the club for 3 years prior to his 21st birthday. So why is he not being classed as homegrown or club trained? Now, I assumed, based on the knowledge that I have, the rules and the fact, the dates, that was the case. So I've been working on the theory that, okay, great, Papamatasar will be classed as homegrown. That's brilliant. Well done, club. Smart stuff you did there.
Yeah.
However,
this is what I was expecting, because Arsenal have got a player where they've done the same sort of thing, haven't they, with their defender?
Yeah. So basically, the way you do this, if you sign a player and then loan him out abroad, so a foreign player, but you want him to be classed as homegrown, you register him in your under 21 squad. So even though he's out on loan, he's registered as part of your under 21 squad for that season. So in theory, could make appearances, even though he's in another country.
Yep.
By doing that little registration, you keep them on your books for those 3 years. Therefore, they are eligible to be classed as homegrown. Arsenal have done that with William Saliba. He now is on the homegrown category. Well done, Arsenal. Tottenham tried to do the same with Papamatasar. However, there is a little rule quirk, which whether Tottenham were aware of it, I don't know, or perhaps not. Our admin isn't the best, a la Matt Doherty's loan fiasco.
Oh, yeah.
Because Saliba is an EU national, that rule's applicable. Because Papamatasar is not, the rule isn't. So therefore, regardless of his registrations, he would need to have been at the club, not loaned out continuously, and he hasn't been. Therefore, he is not going to be classed as homegrown. What a fun little quirk that is.
Isn't it just? Yeah.
However, that does mean there are three players that need to be part of that 25-man squad. So, of the 17 slots available this season, obviously those three are going to go in. Now, a little side note.
Think 17 out of 25, you think that's quite a big number.
Yeah, no, it is.
However, when we start breaking it down.
Now, I will say, in that 25-man squad named this season were Ivan Perisic and Eric Dier, both of whom are classed as non-homegrown, both of them as foreign players. Both of them have left.
Yes.
So those two, so, you know, let's say Dragusin for Dier, straight swap. Udogi for Perisic, straight swap. So in essence, Sar slotting into the squad, one of the foreign players there needs to leave. Now everyone's looking at Ndombele. Come on, admit it. You're all thinking it. That's the one.
Well, yeah. There's no argument for that one, is there, really?
Yeah. So that's just a little bit of an outline of the rules. Now, the Europe, it gets even more complicated. So, grab a drink.
Buckle in, people.
Yeah, so in Europe, you have an A list and a B list. So, in the Premier League, it's your 25-man squad, then your under-21s. Europe is A and B. Your A list can be no more than 25 players. And two, is specified in Europe, two must be goalkeepers. In the Premier League, in theory, you could have 25 strikers and just be like, yeah, let's go for it.
we're all out of time.
Yeah, yeah. Let's play rushbacks. So 25 players, two must be goalkeepers, eight must be homegrown, association trained, as they call it, and four of those must be club trained. So that is something in Europe, which is a big deal. So to have a 25-man squad, four of them must, eight must be homegrown, four must be club trained. Now, anyone sort of running their mind over the squad right now will know that's a bit of a problem for us. But
I can think of three in the first team squad, and that's it.
Yeah, well, we're going to walk our way through it in a minute. And I think the club are already acting to solve this short term with a hope that perhaps there's a longer term solution coming through the academy. But to keep this in mind, club trained, if you cannot meet that four, you lose a squad place. So let's just say, for example, you got a 25 player squad, you can't name four, then it reduces it to 24. It reduces it by... You have to reduce it by a number. So you can't like replace these four club trained with other players, whether they're association trained or foreign. You just can't. So if you haven't got the four, you haven't got them. And so your squad's reduced by that many. So it's not a case of you can't compete. It just means you can have a smaller squad than everybody else. The B list, again, is a little bit interesting because we do have a potential issue here as well. The B list is like the under-21s list, quite literally, that's what it is. But in Europe, to qualify for the B list, you have to have been registered with the club for at least 2 years, 24 months prior to your 21st birthday. So I'm going to pick two players for you now. Lies, the striker, and the young midfielder Bergvall, who is joining us in the summer. Those two players will not meet that criteria, which means if they are to be named in our European squad, they would have to be on the A list, taking up foreign player slots. Which, which next season, as you can imagine, is going to be very difficult when you consider our homegrown issue, the club trained issue. And, you know, it's a 25 player squad, eight must be homegrown. So the foreign player slots, you know, is. You know, is going to be highly sought. Now, if we're in the Champions League...
If this was Football Manager, you'd be having reports coming back of unhappy players.
No,
I want to be in the Europe squad.
Yeah. And so, again, this is an interesting thing. And so, we're gonna work our way through it because there's things going on and there's a lot of rumours going on. So, like I said, we're gonna go there. Let's start then, if you're happy, mate. Now, we've run through the rules and everyone's half asleep. Wake up! Hello.
This is the good bit.
So let's walk it through now. Okay. So, we're going to start with the goalkeepers. We have four in the first team squad. Vicario, who is an Italian national, obviously, so he's not classed as homegrown. So that is our first foreign player slot taken of the 17, because he is our first choice goalkeeper, without a doubt.
Yes, definitely.
We're both on the same page with that.
We're definitely saying Vicario is our number one goalkeeper.
Yeah. And so that is one foreign player slot of the 17 gone. Have you got a pen and paper, by the way?
Mate, I've just got a pen and paper out.
Top man. Do this as we go, all right? So that's one foreign player slot gone. Vicario, definitely. Okay. Now, the next one is Fraser Forster. Fraser Forster is a good old pro, keeps himself fit, other than now he's injured, ironically. Fraser Forster is classed as homegrown.
Yep.
Which is obviously exactly what you need. you know, from a player who's going to be playing your backup. He's under contract. He's did an extension beyond this summer to next summer, so that's 2025. So it's fairly confident that Fraser Forster will remain our backup. And to be honest with you, I'm quite happy with that.
I'm happy with that. He seems to be a good member of the squad. When we have called upon him, he's performed well. Yeah, I'm happy for him. Yeah. I'm happy for him to stay as backup.
Yep, definitely. And he is a homegrown player. So obviously he doesn't count towards that 17 for non-homegrown. So that's good. Yep. Due to his age, he definitely will count towards the 25. So that's two of our 25 done. No one's buying that, Fraser. Even with the Just for Men coming out, you ain't fooling anyone.
No.
Now, the interesting one next is a goalkeeper who came for our academy called Alfie Whiteman. Now,
yep.
Alfie has been at the club his entire career, come through the academy, a goalkeeper. He's in his mid-20s now, you know, so he's not... for a goalkeeper, you know, he's still, you know, of the age, but he's done various loans, different clubs abroad and in lower divisions. But he's classed as our fourth choice goalkeeper currently. But what is interesting with Alfie Whiteman from a club point of view is not only is he homegrown, English, come through the association, yep. He is, of course, club trained. He signed a contract extension again, the same sort of time as Fraser Forster until 2025, which raised a few eyebrows, like, why are the club doing that? Well, I'm hoping, as I've just run through the rules of everyone, they'll understand why the club have done that.
It's a strange one, because there's the two goalkeepers. There's him and Brandon Austin, who I'm guessing we'll get onto in just a second.
Yeah.
Austin has made the bench a few times this season now, with Forster being injured.
Yeah.
Whiteman hasn't really made the bench.
Nope.
And you'd think of his age and wanting to be a professional goalkeeper, You would think both Austin and Whiteman would be knocking on the door going, look, guys, I've been here X amount of years. I currently have the same amount of appearances that I can count on one hand for the club in any competition at all. I want to go play football.
Yeah. I think it's a difficult one.
However, the club are going, no, here's money, stay here, please, we need you. We need you, there's a tick box here, I need you.
I think it's a difficult one. So let's talk about, Brandon Austin is the other goalkeeper we're about to mention. Again, homegrown, club trained. Now, Austin's contract does expire this summer. However, I know from various people who are well-placed, he's in talks to sign an extension. And I think that's even out there in the news now. I think people are reporting it. It's like a no-brainer for him and the club. So from a club point of view, that is our four goalkeepers set for next season, providing Brandon signs the extension. And three of those are homegrown. Two of them are club trained.
Yeah.
And that makes a big difference. That's quite important from our point of view.
I'm assuming Austin is going to stay. I mean, he does seem to be at the moment like one of the faces of our social media. If you go on to the Tottenham Hotspur YouTube and stuff like that, it's always Brandon Austin is always doing like the PlayStation challenges all the different challenges and stuff. He is there.
And whilst Whiteman's also a DJ in North London, just to really, you know, up his stock.
Seriously?
Yeah. Austin and Whiteman, from a club point of view, you can completely understand why they are keen to keep extending their deals, keep them at the club. Not only are they both good young professionals, as in the way they conduct themselves, the way they train, the way they push. The club actually, from various coaches across various managerial regimes, have kept them because they do actually feel that they are at a level... You know, this is Conte, Jose, all of these managers who have been and gone, that other guy we don't talk about, have looked at them and have wanted to keep them around. Not as a club decision, but as actually, if there's an injury, I have faith in them to step in. I genuinely believe that.
These guys are decent goalkeepers, yeah.
And Brandon Austin, for example, has made the bench something like 30-something times in the last two seasons. He is trusted to be cover. Whiteman, yeah. You know, has gone out on loan various times, etc., and is also trusted if needed. Fraser Forster, like, has picked up an injury. Now, if Vicario picked up an injury in his next game or whatever, you know, God forbid, then Austin and Whiteman would be our keepers.
Starting and on the bench, yeah.
So that's why you do need the four that are training day in, day out, under Ange, under the methods, the way we play. So they are there, they're in tune, they know what's going on, they know the players around them. Whereas, like, the younger academy goalkeepers, and we have got some keepers in the academy who are very highly rated, by the way. Highly rated. Josh Keeley's one of them. They obviously play in the academy sides, are out on loan. They're not playing day-to-day with the training. That's why you need them. So it's both sides. Now, from their point of view, I mean, obviously I'm not in their heads. I don't know. What you just said then about, you know, I want to be playing week in, week out, without a shadow of a doubt, there's got to be an element of that. But at the same time, you are going to be earning decent money at Tottenham. You're going to be working in world-class facilities day in, day out. They're both Tottenham fans. They both come through the academy. They both love the club. This is all they've known, sort of thing. They've gone out on loan and played first team football at various occasions, each of them. And it's like, from my point of view, it's like, I'm a Tottenham fan, so are they. If I've got the opportunity to keep signing a deal with the club, to stay at the club, work at the club every single day, I'm taking it.
I'd be doing it just for the tracksuits you had to take home each week, you know. This is my official Tottenham training kit. I will keep this, thank you.
I fully expect a phone call for you at the end of this. Are you interested? What position can you play? Daniel Levy's interested. Apparently you'll work for tracksuits.
I'm an overweight striker. Find me. Yeah.
An overweight striker. Hey, we've signed worse. With the goalkeepers, I kind of feel like we're set. I mean, I know, again, that there's a strong rumour that we are looking at English homegrown keepers that are playing in the Premier League and the Championship, and are looking at those options with a view of Fraser Forster is probably, when his deal expires, you know, that's when we need to add. And the view is you want to add a keeper who's really going to push Vicario, but not take another foreign player slot. So that is being looked at. But
I mean, realistically, you want to kind of sign a young English goalkeeper and leave him where he is for a season or two for the Fraser to run out of his contract and then bring him in, don't we? Keep up the first team football. Stay there.
Potentially. I mean, it is something that I think we're focusing on the squad for next season. And I think for next season, Vicario, Forster, Austin, Whiteman, for me, ticks the boxes. Yeah. I mean, they're settled, they know each other, they've worked together this year, and they'll work together next year. Like, for me, we don't need to change that. Unless, you know, something horrific happens, injuries or whatever, I don't think we need to change anything there.
No, I agree with you. I'm happy with that
So with the squad, like we mentioned, so that's one foreign player slot taken, only one from the goalkeepers, so that's good. And two club-trained ticks we've got. All right. We're now going to move into the defenders.
Okay.
Right. So I'm going to read three to you, and I think we can both agree, absolutely keep, and they, three of them, take three foreign player slots, and that is QT Romero, Dragusin, and Van de Ven.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's the three of them, absolutely. The only way I see that changing is if one of those players wants to leave. And from everything I'm seeing and everything, the three of them are happy, settled. Romero is the one that a few people have had an eye on because of interest from Spain. But he, you know, vice-captain, appears to be very determined and settled and wants to make his mark. He said something very interesting, actually, which a few people put this as a veiled dig at someone. So I've got the quote here. This is translated. So sometimes translations can be a bit...
Love an old lost in translation.
Well, some of it basically can seem quite sharp, I think, sometimes translations. He was asked about trophies and stuff in Tottenham and things whilst he was on international duty. And he said, and the quote goes, like, smiled at reporter, I won the World Cup. Smiled again. I want to lift trophies with my team because it is a team that is determined to do it and everyone going in the right direction to do it. There is not one player in the squad who doesn't wake up every day hoping to win something. But then that could be said of every single club. English Premier League is one of the best leagues, if not the best league in the world. Everyone, all eyes are on it. Everyone in it wakes up and starts every day and every season wanting to win it. There isn't a player in there who doesn't dream of it. Leicester City won it from nowhere. So every club has that dream at the start of the season. We, as a collective, know what we can do and our ability. As a club, we've been close but not got there. I believe we can get there. I am not someone who walks away because my teammates and me have not been able to achieve everything I wanted to achieve. It's not about the individual, it's about the team. This team is all of us. I've won the World Cup. If I finish my career tomorrow without any other shiny bits of metal, it doesn't matter to me. I can understand that others might feel different, but for me, it's about achieving something. I win a trophy at Tottenham, it'll mean more than if I win a trophy at a club in a league that always wins trophies.
That's not even subtle.
Okay, now I was about to say to you, now... Is that a dig or is that even subtle? I don't know.
He may as well have said the name of who we're all thinking at the end.
That's great. Like I said, I think sometimes translations can be sharp. Like there could have been, like, you know, sort of a bit more.
No. That was we all know who walked away from the team to get personal prizes. To a league where they always win, but haven't. Do you know what makes me laugh? You said earlier the two Harrys left.
Yeah.
Realistically, Harry Winks is more likely to lift a trophy at the end of the season than Harry Kane is.
I don't. I'm not going
and
there.
And that makes me so happy.
No, I'm not going there. I've been accused of being petty, so I'm not going there. I'm not.
I was so happy.
Okay, so like I said, we're in the defenders. We can agree Romero, Dragosin, Van de Ven are staying. So that is That is three non-homegrown slots gone. So that's four in total taken.
Homegrown, two club, and four exes.
Yeah, brilliant. Yep. Okay. Now we move into the fullback region now. Let's do this. So with the central defenders also on the books in the first team squad, we had Japhet Tanganga and Joe Roden. Both of those are classed as homegrown, and Japhet obviously is also classed as club trained. So there is a thought process, of course, of we need a fourth defender in the squad. Japhet would tick and would also, you know, help us meet this quota. However, let's dive into the facts on this. Both Joe and Japhet worked with Ange briefly in pre-season.
Yep.
And both were then sent out on loan.
Yeah, it's difficult for me because I am a big fan of Japhet. Yeah. And in actual fairness, if you look at purely on the pitch stuff, I think Joe Roden is a real tidy defender. Yeah. If you look at his pure on the pitch stuff.
Yeah, so there's two aspects with Joe Roden which I think are important for this. There's the off the field issue around his brother and leaking team sheets and stuff like that, which is the urban myth, rumor, whatever you want to call it, which I'm not going to dive into because there is definitely facts behind it, but it's not my place to be jumping on that. So we're just going to leave that. You can Google that, anyone who's interested, and see. The interesting thing from him and on the pitch stuff, as you say, is I think, and I get crucified for this opinion, much like Eric Dier, Joe Roden is a solid defender. In the right system that isn't playing a high line. If you watch him and Ampadu play for Leeds, which I have because Leeds appear to be on TV every single week this season,
Yeah, they do like it. They got relegated and signed it.
Mate,
to a TV deal.
Someone, so I was listening to the radio the other day, the Chris Moyle show, and because he's a Leeds fan, they got Rob DJ's pub quiz. Yes. They've been on TV over 30 times this season.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they got a massive fan base around. I mean, Leeds is a big club, but yeah.
Leeds is a massive club, yeah.
Yeah. So, but anyway, they are on like practically every week. But so I've actually watched them a lot, just because I'm the sort of person that if there's nothing on, I'll stick whatever sports are in the background.
You and me are the worst for this.
Yeah, yeah, just like, oh, who are you watching? I have no idea. I think it's Yeovil. Yeovil versus, you know, just sort of happens.
Oh, it's great because TNT Sports have started putting non-league football on as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, so they have.
Having moved away from Southend, I can still watch Southend on the telly every now and again.
Oh, bless you. Bless you.
I'm like, oh, look.
So Joe Roden, I think, is a very good defender who a lot of clubs will sign and be happy with. Under Adams, yes. I don't think he works for us.
He hasn't got the right ability to kind of fit into what Ange wants his fullbacks. Like you say, like Eric Dyer. Eric Dyer is a very good defender. For all the criticism and stuff he got, man of the match against Arsenal in that Champions League. And he is a fantastic defender.
You've only got
when you are playing a flat back four who defend.
When you're playing slightly deeper and everything like that, Eric Dyer is good on the ball and stuff. I mean, yeah, Arsenal were he really proved the point in that game, which I enjoyed. But just focusing on this then, so Joe Roden, I think, regardless of being classed as homegrown, is definitely someone the club are going to sell.
Add him to my other bit of paper. So Roden out.
Yeah, and keeping in mind that Leeds are very keen on him, but the way he's performed in the Championship this season, you only got to look around. There's about four or five other clubs, including Premier League clubs, who are all monitoring. The biggest one of which I've seen is Everton. Everton are like really interested in him. And you think of the way Sean Dyche plays, I think he'd suit him so
do very right. well.
Of course,
I think that's going to depend on if Leeds come up or not. If Leeds can get promoted, I think they're going to go hell for leather to keep him.
I think so. I think you're absolutely right. I do think there's an element of off-field thing there as well, which might give them pause. But that's for people to Google. And of course, with the Everton thing, it's kind of interesting because will they have a budget to actually sign anyone? And will Tottenham actually do any kind of deal with them, considering what's happened with Dele? So that could be interesting. Yep. The other one, obviously, Japheth Sanganga, we were talking about. Although being homegrown and club trained, I think it's pretty clear, again, he doesn't work in the Ange Ball system.
Which surprises me. He's the one that surprises me.
See, it doesn't, though. If you think about it, he isn't good on the ball. He is quick, he's powerful, he isn't good on the ball. And you have to be comfortable.
Suppose,
if you are constantly playing out from the back, you have to be comfortable. Or people just target you. Think about poor Davinson Sanchez, a good defender, but just every team looked at him and went, that's who we rush. Like Romero's on the ball, if Van de Ven's on the ball, oh, hang on.
It's calm. Jaffet's got
you go at him. You get right in his face because you know he's going to make a mistake or panic and under-hit a back pass or something.
Yeah.
So I think, again, Jaffet, you only got to look at this season. He's gone on loan to Millwall from January. I think he's got man of the match at least three times. He is consistent.
He's scored a couple of goals.
They'd love to sign him. He is doing very, very well. So there are a lot of Championship teams, again, who are looking at him going, yes, please, that's very much who we'd like to sign. So I think we can, I mean, if you agree with me, I think we can safely say, because Ange's looked at both, sent them out on loan, I think both of those are two players that are up for sale this summer.
Yeah, I think you're right. Sadly, but I think you're right.
So they're sort of over there. If we now head to the fullbacks, then.
We've still got. What about Ashley Phillips? What's your thoughts on Ashley Phillips?
Academy player, not part of the first team.
No.
Yeah.
You leave him out either on loan or under 21s.
If he is part of the squad, he'd be on the under 21 list. So we don't need to worry about him from a club squad point of view. But I think I think Phillips isn't going to make the fourth defender slot next season. Alfie Dorrington's the other one in the academy who's there. I think both of them, from my point of view, get them as high up loans as possible. Phillips has been playing in the championship and been brilliant. A full season in the championship again, or a full season in a Premier League team, but he needs to be playing. I would rather a player go to a championship team and play every week if they're fit than sit on the bench of a Premier League team for the academy. So,
100%. At this age, it is all about match time and learning.
We want them to make their mistakes now with somebody else, which I know sounds a little bit callous, but when you're a young defender, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to. Yeah. So
get Phillips, all your own goals out of the system now.
Phillips and Dorrington, for me, that's what I'd be looking to do. But again, even if they are part of the club and they do bring them in as part of their plans because they really impressed, they'd go on to the under 21 list anyway. So we don't need to factor them in.
Perfect.
So in the fullbacks, then on the right side, we have Emerson Royale and Pedro Porro as part of the squad on the right hand side, and Jed Spence.
Yep.
The forgotten one. Now, Royale and Porro. Obviously both foreign, so they won't be classed. I think me and you can both agree Pedro Porro is our first choice right back, so he's definitely making the squad.
Pedro Porro is number 8 on the list, yep.
Yeah, so foreign player on the list. Emerson Royale is an interesting one. So Emerson Royale, for me, and again, this is just purely my opinion, and then you can come in with yours, I think Emerson Royale is a solid right back. He's defensively okay, offensively okay, but he doesn't excel at either. Like, so some players, for example, you look at and go, look, they're really solid, but they don't offer anything going forward. Other players, you go, they're all about the attack, and then when you turn them, they're useless. You know, so with him, I think he's good defensively. I think he's good offensively, but not excelling either, and with the inverted sort of coming inside, I don't think it suits him. Like me personally, I look at him when he plays in our system this season under Ange, I don't think it works that well. However, Ange seems to really rely on him, as in he'll play in the right side, the left side, central defense. He even picked him over central defenders to fill in that slot for him. And look, he didn't do bad. Like, I don't want to run him down. So he's a great personality around the squad. He appears to be a very good professional, very good pro. So for me, I'm really conflicted on it. I look at it and I think there's got to be an upgrade available in our system who's better suited to our system. But at the same time, he doesn't let me down with anything. Like, he isn't a player that immediately when I see him named, I think, oh no,
I'm okay.
It's just a case of I do think there's an upgrade available, and I do think playing this system, we need to be able to rotate our fullbacks more than we have done this year. And I don't know. So I'm on the fence with that one. So what's your thoughts?
So I think purely defensively, I think he's our best fullback as a pure defensive side.
You mean right-sided, or do you mean fullback?
No, I mean like as fullback in total, fullbacks.
Ben Davis.
I think... No, see, Ben Davis, for me, I now classify him more as a left-sided centre-back than a left-back because of where he plays now.
But he is a fullback and he is our best defender.
He is our best defender. I'll give you that one. If you're classifying Ben Davis as a fullback, then he is our best defensive fullback. Yeah. And then I think it's Royale. I think where Royale is let down is, like you say, the attacking side.
Yeah.
And the bringing the ball forward and inside. Now, we've watched Pedro Porro kind of take to this role.
Yeah.
And pretty much every match you see Porro get more comfortable cutting inside and being on the inside. And Destiny looks like he was literally born to play in the system.
Yeah.
Like, from the first game, he was like, oh, you want me to run to the centre circle? Okay, I'll do that. No worries. Yeah. You know, and he is taking to it perfectly. Royale does struggle with that. Yeah. However, he's also Mr. Reliable and can cover pretty much anywhere in the back four if Fange asks him.
So here's the question then. Obviously, need to invest funds in certain areas. Like, there are certain areas where I think we definitely need to invest.
Yeah.
This season, and again, focusing purely for this season, would you go into it feeling, okay, I've got Pedro Porro and I've got Royale, I'm covered on that right side? Like, so for me, there's nothing, like, I know there's we could upgrade in this system, definitely. And perhaps if an opportunity arose that was undeniable, we jump on it. But barring that, he isn't going to let us down, and we can invest the funds. You know, do you see where I'm going? It's sort of like, for me, perhaps this season, focusing on this season, we're set on that right back, and we kind of lock that in.
I think Royale stays. I think, yeah, he's kind of Mr. Alive. Like you say, there will be upgrades out there, but are they upgrades that will, A, work in this system, or B, even actually be available and come to us?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, so Royale is in. He is number 9.
Yeah, so that's another non-homegrown player slot gone. So we've got a maximum of 17, and how many have we taken up already?
6. The entire defence so far.
We can add to that now as we move. Let's just finish on the right side. Jed Spence. Spence was
such
signed.
Such a frustrating one, this.
Yeah, he was signed with a great deal of promise. He was playing a season as a wing-back. We were playing wing-backs under Conte, and Conte kind of took his legs out from under in the minute he signed by just being like, I didn't want him. the club have signed him. That's not me. I didn't pick him. And from that moment on, it's just not worked. Lots of reports around, doesn't train well, consistently
attitude,
late.
Yeah.
He's out on loan to Genoa in Italy at the moment. It's interesting because he's very, you know, when he plays, you look at it and you go, there's a player there.
And there's a player there that suits Ange Ball. I think that's the most annoying thing. He was on loan in the Championship, played a couple of games before he got sent back, and played as an inverted left wing and a right wing, left back and right back inverted. Yeah. And I'm like, the kid could play Ange Ball, and the kid could play it well. Like, he has all the ability, the pace, everything that you'd want as a young right back in this system. However, it's the attitude, it's the lateness, it's something we spoke about actually when he was part of the Nottingham Forest team. They got promoted. They got promoted, and he put a big post out on his social media, basically having a dig at his manager because he was only on loan at Nottingham Forest, having a dig at the manager, which was Neil Warnock of all people, for sending him out on loan like a cigar in hand. Look at me, how great I am. Look what I've done. Yeah. And I think I said to you then, I was like, oh, there's a player with an arrogance issue. Like, there's a player with an attitude issue. And then we signed him, and I was like, oh, no. this is going to go one or two ways.
Well, it's an interesting thing, because I think there is a fine line between having a healthy arrogance and ego. And I think to make it in professional sport, you
have
kind
to
of
have
need
one.
That. Like I said, I was a very close professional with rugby. I never had that. Other people around me training did. It's like a swagger, kind of a self-belief of I'm better than everyone else here.
To believe you deserve to be on that team sheet, otherwise.
And I think you
no
do,
point.
Yeah. I think I went into it in a very kind of almost British mentality of, oh, I'll do my best.
Very humble.
Yeah, very, very humble. And I was surrounded by people who were not, and I was kind of a bit taken back by it. So I do sort of channel that when I see people like that. I think to myself, well, yeah, okay, but you got to back it up. Like, it's okay to do like social media stuff and everything where you look a bit cocky and you kind of carry yourself in a certain way. And if you're backing up your performances week in, week out, and you're training hard and you're a good teammate, then people are going to think you're a great, you know, people are going to look at it and go, oh, he's a character, isn't he? When you're not backing it up, people look at it and think you're a prat. And I think that's the issue we've got, where perception on him changed dramatically. You know, when we signed him, people were like, oh, play him week in, week out. And then Conte went, Stellini went, even Ryan Mason wasn't picking him, and everyone's like, oh, Okay, there must be a reason then. Hang on.
Something's going on here. Yeah.
Yeah, they're looking at him every day in training and going, nope, you are not ready. Or you are not hitting the levels you need to hit to show
us. And then
he
seemed to kind of be pissed off about the fact that, well, I've joined a Premiership team, but I'm not playing football. And that seemed to then put a real kind of chip on his shoulder. And it kind of all just kind of spiraled, didn't it, really?
Yeah, so we're in a situation again where Ange looked at him and sent him out on loan. He is obviously classed as homegrown. So, in theory, you know, Emerson Royale, you get some offer for him, you let him go, and you and Jed Spence is performing at a level, you know, that's kind of ideal scenario from a club squad planning point of view. From me personally, I think Ange has looked at him. I think several coaches have looked at him. It's not worked at us. I think at another club it could. I think there'd be plenty of takers for him in the Championship, maybe even in the Premier League. I think that's one to go, personally. I think it's another one to be sold.
I will add Spence to the discard pile.
Discard pile. Sounds savage. Now, left backs, we have three on the books. Sorry, we have four, technically, on the books. And one of them's going to be an interesting debate, or two of them, perhaps. So let's do, first of all, Destiny Udogi, definitely our first choice left back. The kid's staying, 100%. There's no doubt. Yeah, so that he goes on. He takes one of the foreign player slots this season, but he, he's definitely one of the, he's definitely the kid.
It's another cross for the non-homegrown. Yeah.
Now the next two, Ben Davis and Sergio Reguilon. Now,
I will fight you on this one.
So here we go. So I personally love Ben Davis. I think he's a phenomenal servant. He's smart. He's a brilliant professional. He keeps himself fit and he keeps himself so busy. He's training to become a coach. You know, everything about him smacks of future manager one day and a decent one at that.
The professionalism he has is unbelievable.
Brilliant. And what a great example to everyone at the club. But.
Yep.
And this is the massive but. For me, we are in danger of an almost Eric Dier situation, which is he doesn't suit Ange Ball. Like, there's no two ways about it. Even slotting in as the left-sided centre-back, he isn't good enough on the ball to suit Ange Ball at all. It didn't work for Eric Dier either. So we need, for me, purely my opinion, for both Ben and for us, I think it's time to part ways.
This is not the one I thought I'd be fighting you on.
So are you fighting me on this?
Ben, though, I think you've got a player there who is an ideal professional. Fantastic role model. Him and Son are the two longest serving players in the squad.
And very good friends as well.
Very good. I mean, Ben Davis's child is godfather.
Son's godfather.
They are like peas in a pod. I think as an example for the young kids coming through, he's fantastic. And he's a model professional, as in he knows that he's not going to put any of the starting 11 out of the squad. But he is such a reliable defender when you need someone to come on and either shore things up or there's a bit of an injury. You throw Ben Davis on when there's an injury crisis or something, and he's just going to do his job with a smile on his face and do it well.
Do you think... obviously, Destiny Udogie is ruled out for the rest of the season with injury. So Ben Davies, or perhaps Emerson Royale, which might speak more to the future of one of them, will come in and start against Arsenal in probably our biggest game. I mean, every game now is huge, but this game, the North London Derby, is kind of all on the line, really, for both clubs to achieve something in the season.
Am I about to answer my own question here by saying, if you look at who is likely to be on that wing for Arsenal, which is going to be Saka, then you put Royale to start because of the pace to keep up with him.
Well, there you go. You've kind of just.
I've kind of. Well, yeah.
Here's a stat for you. Okay, it's one that I dread saying. Ben Davis has never lost to Arsenal at home.
Oh no! Don't say that. Why would you say that?
Because it's true.
Why? I know, but it's not going to be now, is it? Because now you've jinxed it.
But yeah, it's. I mean, it's the stats there. It's black and white. Look, this is one similar to Emerson Royale where I think there are definitely upgrades available. Is it needed this summer? Possibly not. But at the same time, and I'm going to say this, you made a point in what you were saying about how reliable he was and how, but you also said how he doesn't expect to be starting.
Yeah.
I think you're right. He doesn't. That's a problem. Destiny of Doggy is so clear. Yeah, Udogie is so clear the first choice left back. He's not been rotated and he's broken down. And we haven't really had cup runs and we haven't had European football this season. Next year, we have to be rotating.
Like four different fronts. Yeah. Yeah,
we have to be able to rotate. So if you've got a player there that, like you say, great squad guy, and you could put this in for Royale as well. And I know we kind of moved past it saying, okay, he's not. But in Ange's system and playing Ange ball, it doesn't really work for me. I don't think Ben suits it. So, no, I don't think we can agree on this one. I think this one we're probably divided
Davis,
on.
I have put Davis in the love you goodbye pile. He's not in the discarded pile. He's in the love you goodbye pile.
So the next two here is Sergio Reguilon and Ryan Sessegnon. So. There again, and this is interesting. So Reguilon is a player that you look at all his attributes and everything that's there, and you look at it and you go, that should work.
That should work.
He, more than anyone, worked with Ange and even played pre-season games under him and could not get it. It was awful. And from all accounts,
he couldn't get hold of the inverted thing, could he?
And by all accounts,
he is out and out fullback.
And by all accounts, in training, it was stroppy, moody. This is stupid. What? I'm a fullback.
It surprises me so much because he doesn't come across in the stuff you see as the sort of person that would be like, "Oh, this is stupid. I'm a fullback. Let me run down the wing." Oh. But all the reports came out that was pretty much exactly. Yeah. He was like, give me the ball, I'll run down the wing. I'll overlap. What is this stupid underlap crap? No, I overlap. What are you doing? But the thing is, like, he's got a great delivery. He's got a great shot. He's a very good defender.
Yeah.
He should be perfect for Ange Ball. And in all fairness, like, he went out on loan to Man United, played a few games at Man United.
Yeah.
That I think surprised a lot of people that when Man U came in to loan him, obviously they had the Luke Shaw injury, but he went there and he didn't play badly, but he was in a very poor Man United squad, let's be honest.
Man United fans, for example, were dismayed when they ended that loan. We're just like, this makes no sense. Like, he's been, other people are coming back, but he's been really good for us. This makes no sense. Brentford picked him up straight away. He's done very well at Brentford, but the news story this week is Brentford can't afford his wages. So they got no chance of signing him when his deal comes up.
He's had one red card, but he's also had a couple of decent few assists.
Yeah.
And he's playing very well. And I look at that and I'm like, oh, he's the sort of player that I want to give him another pre-season and give him another chance to come back and for Ange to sit him down and go, right, you've got from now until the 18th of August, for example, you know, and then if it doesn't work, we've got 2 weeks to sell you.
So for me, this comes into the squad planning point of view, okay? So we've got two players there that, in essence, we've got the same argument about. You've got what you just said then about Reguilon, giving him that chance and everything. Ryan Sessegnon is basically in a similar boat, not because of any kind of not being able to get the system or anything like that, but because of injuries. Ever since we've signed him, he's been murdered by a hamstring problem. He should have had surgery years ago, but because of his age, and by the way, this is a human decision that was made by the club above a footballing one, which I, despite the frustration, I have to applaud. when he was that young, did you want to put him through the surgery, or did you want to try everything you could to avoid it? The club tried everything they could to avoid it.
Yeah.
But it got to a point where he had to have it, because you are breaking down, you're coming back, you're breaking down, you need to have this done. Now, this type of surgery is designed to fix this issue permanently, okay? Ryan Sessegnon had it. He rehabbed that injury in that leg, the whole thing. He was coming back. He played a few behind closed doors games, was brilliant. All accounts are just like, yeah, he's going to push Destiny. This is perfect. This really suits him, this role. You know, because he was always that kind of, is he a left
off,
back?
He started
or
off
is he a left wing?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, this is actually, oh, wow, this is going to be good. He then started playing for the under-21s, and about 20 minutes into an under-21 game, went down with a hamstring problem. The other leg.
The other leg. Yeah.
So he's had the surgery again. Now, he had the choice with it. This is interesting, because he had the choice given to him. It was like, look, this is the same injury as you've been struggling with since you were 17. On the other leg, it's just happened to this leg. It's friggin' unlucky, it's awful. But when he went, yeah, surgery straight away, he's like, I need to fix this so I can, when I rehab, I can have confidence and faith that this isn't gonna happen again. Now, without a shadow of a doubt, he isn't gonna be as quick. There's definitely gonna be a yard of pace missing, but he was pretty rapid. People forget how rapid he was.
Oh, he was a quick little winger.
Not Van der Ven, but you know, he was quick. No one's as quick as Van der Ven.
I love the fact that Van der Ven gets compared to Usain Bolt so often in commentary.
he's fast. So here's the debate then. You've got two players there who you say, look, you look at Reguilón and you think everything about you, you should be able to get your head around this. Come on. And you got Ryan Sessegnon, who kind of started to show that he could, but we've never been able to rely on him.
Yep.
Which one do you give the chance to? And I'll tell you why I lean towards Ryan for one simple reason, and that is the homegrown status.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah. If you look at purely planning of a squad,
yeah,
a Reguilón will get you decent money sending him back to Spain.
Oh, I don't think anyone in Spain's got any money. I think there's whether you get another loan fee for him and just wait till his contract runs, or whatever you do. With Sessegnon, don't get me wrong, Sessegnon, there'll be clubs in England and all around Europe who take him, because you're not going to get much for him, you're not going to get your money back, but everyone's going to look at that and go, well, he's had the surgeries, there's a player there. Everyone knows there is. Like, for me, again, you said about, like, okay, you get him back in pre-season, you get those opening weeks and you assess it. For me, he'd be the one I'd want to get into that pre-season and go, right, come on, kid, show me. In my mind, okay, we got Davis and Anudogi. If Sessegnon shows me something in this, then Ben's available for sale. If he doesn't, then Sessegnon's gone and we need to recruit, but Ben's there in case we don't. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Sergio goes on the love you bye list.
Yeah, I think Reguilón.
Ryan gets a pre-season to prove, come on then, mate.
And I think, if Ryan Sessegnon wasn't classed as homegrown English, I don't think I'd be saying the same thing. I think I'd be saying we just can't rely on him, both have to go. But because of the squad planning and the rules that are involved in it, I think you have to look at that and you have to say, you know, there's got to be a chance there.
Yeah, and we know he's a good player, just the injury problems.
And that's it, because now he's had those double surgery, you want to give him that opportunity, because if, for example, you get him in the preseason, you look at him and go, yes, yeah, okay, the kid can play this system. If you think about it, then you've then got your left side, Udogi and Sessegnon, and one of them classes homegrown, really, you know, really benefits.
You're laughing then, aren't you? Yeah,
and all of a sudden that money we invested in the time, you know, you're laughing, you're happy.
Yeah.
So, mate, what is our status? We've gone through goalkeepers, we've gone through defenders. Where are we up to? What have we got?
Okay, so we have 4 homegrown.
Yep.
2 club trained.
Yep.
7 non-home, 7 foreign player slots.
Okay.
Already. Yeah. And so far, Roden, Javit Tanganga, Spence, Davis, and Reguilon are out the door.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah, that's quite impressive. And we've not even got to the midfield.
Ben Davis on the out the door list.
He's stood in the doorway, all right? He's not quite out
he's
the door.
He's in the door. He's holding it over.
Yeah, he's ushering others out. He may follow them, he might not. I don't know yet.
Is it raining out there? Is it not raining? Do I want to go out?
He's currently the doorman, all right? He's currently there. He's the doorman.
Yeah.
The Ben Davis is the one. There's a certain emotional attachment due to the length of time he's been at the club, but I'm trying to push that to one side to look at it and go, he doesn't suit the system, Sam.
We need to look at it in a brutal way of we are wanting to challenge on at least one or two trophies next season.
Yeah.
And if you were to look at Let's look at a couple of the local kind of clubs to us that are known for being a bit more ruthless.
Yeah.
You know, how long was Drogba at Chelsea for before they turned around and went, do you know what? We've got a younger replacement. Off you go.
Yeah.
And Frank Lampard was allowed to leave. He'd been at the club pretty much most of his career.
Yeah.
He was allowed to leave and there was no sentiment behind it.
No.
And that's the sort of thing this club needs now to start looking at and go, right, do you tick a box of being good enough? Yes or no?
Yeah,
and if you ain't ticking that box, we need to sell.
The good enough thing, I think, subjective. That kind of terminology, he's not good enough, always annoys me. Cause it's like, yeah,
they're professional footballer. They're good enough to play football.
Yeah. It's a system thing. It's a style of play. The way Ange wants to play, I don't.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, does it fit? I don't know.
Yeah.
Right then. So let's move in the midfield. Actually, mate, thinking about it, look, we've gone over an hour on this and we've only done goalkeepers and defenders. I think I'm going to break this down into two shows. They're both going to be available same time, but I think I'm going to give people a natural break, which is kind of like,
to go to the toilet.
Yeah, everyone. Oh,
it's like one of those old school theatre things.
Yeah,
intermission.
Yeah. Yeah, this is your intermission. Everyone, you go stretch your legs, do what you're doing. Before moving on to squad chat show two. So this is episode... technically two different episodes. So the next one will be episode 234. and that way I can keep racking up the numbers. Oh, this is all working out so well. So this was goalkeepers...
You're going to call the next one Goodbye Son, yeah?
No. Don't. If you want to hear that fight, tune into the next episode. everybody, thanks so much for listening. Get in touch and let us know what you think with what we've discussed so far. So episode 233, we've gone through goalkeepers and defenders. We've been kind of building it as we go. We're going to keep a running tab, which we're going to take into the next episode. But drop us a message. You can get in touch via our Instagram page where you can message lovely Laura, who is wonderful. As she is beautiful. You can message us via Facebook, which is Polynesian Dan, so don't be mean because the guy's a friggin' unit. He's very scary. You can get in touch via the Twitter page. The DMs are open. That's me, normally. You can't get in touch via TikTok. That's also me, but I get confused by the message thing on there. It's weird. You can also email, which is sam@spursnews.co.uk. So sam@spursnews.co.uk. Get in touch with us and let us know your thoughts on what we've been discussing. Like, oh, you said this, you know, I think this. Because I like that. I like that debate. I like that discussion. Be civil. You know, we're like I said, we're trying to be brutal. Don't say, are you an idiot?
You can all email Sam and tell him why he's wrong that Davis shouldn't leave the squad.
Yeah, trust me, people are not shy. People are not shy about telling me when I'm wrong, okay? Normally it starts with you carrot crunching idiot or something. But anyway. So thank you for listening. This was episode 233. We'll be back in like a couple of minutes for you. For us, it's going to be a while.
Yeah.
But thank you for listening. We'll be back real soon.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Spurs News Podcast. We hope that you enjoyed the show. Stay up to date with all things Tottenham. Follow us on social media. All links are in the podcast description.